Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Jay Armalee inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
The other day I was driving, and I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but my engine light came on, my oil light came on. How many love when that happens, right? That moment where you're like, oh my gosh, my engine light, my oil light. You love it, Richard. That's great. So we'll bring our cars to you. You know what? But knowing what to do, it's not as bad when we have what we have today, right? We know what to do. So I pulled into a gas station knowing what to do. And so I pulled right up and I filled my tank with gas. And I wanted to make sure my tank was full of gas, knowing that would solve the problem. So when I got back on the road, to my horror, the light was still on. My check engine light and, you know, my oil light was still on. So I'm thankful, you know, on Manning Road that you have so many gas stations going down there. So I pulled into the next gas station because I knew that I just wanted to be sure this would solve it. So I filled up my windshield wiper fluid and I got a car wash. And knowing that that would completely solve my problem. So when I got back in the road, again, the horror that light had not gone off. So, you know, I'm just telling a story. So, of course, I painted the car thinking that would help. I got new seats thinking that would help. But how many know all those things would not fix my oil and engine problem? Right? What's that? I didn't check the tires. Would that have solved it? You know, so often in life, we're doing this series called Matters of the Heart. And if you are like me, if we really look at our life, how often we try to solve engine problems with filling a gas tank. So maybe none of you do this, but maybe this would ring true for you. And just you have one of those days. Your coworkers are not fun to be with, or you know, something happens. Maybe you get pulled into the office and you get talked to and you're upset. So you go home and you are angry and your heart is angry. And so, you know, to solve that problem, what do? You go buy shoes. You go buy a sweater. We laugh, but how many have ever purchased something because you thought it would make you feel a little better in that moment? The rest of you are all liars. This is church. You're not allowed to lie in church. Listen, it could be a chocolate bar. Oh, see, now how many people have ever done it, right? So, and then we say things like, I deserve this, right? But man, we could do that with you name it. We could do that with vacations. We can do that with, like, I just gotta solve this heart, or this is gonna help me in this moment. Now, there are situations in life where getting away could be a very good thing. Sometimes, I'm not saying that, but what I'm talking about is the very scenario that I mentioned with the car, that we are trying to fix something that will never fix our heart. And I would say overall, the body of Christ has a heart issue. I had a hard time preparing my message last night because when I was on Instagram for a while, just trying to check out what was going on in LA, I really got grieved. I don't even know how these feeds get into my feed, but I saw this one person. I don't even know who they are. I'm not going to tell you their gender. I saw them. They're like, they were so excited because 3 days before they prophesied the destruction of LA because of the sin of the people. And I grieved because you see people walking by, and why I grieve is because they're going, that is not a church that I want to be a part of. That's not a God I want to be a part of. And then they were so excited. She was so excited that her prophecy came to pass. And I thought we should be on our faces if we feel, not personally, God is a God of love. I remember a friend of mine, Pastor Gary Osborne from Whitehorse, we were talking about this and it came up. I think it was one of the questions in a Q&A time. And he said, you know, I've often thought about that, but when you get down to it, when you look at if this is like a disaster is from God's wrath, he said, why did he miss my house then? And I thought, well, that settles it right there, because when we think our sin's less than somebody else's sin, we're now in judgment and we're in sin. All right, so let's turn in our Bibles. I will try to keep this as short as I can. We're going to go to the scripture we've been talking about. Can you put those two slides up that you got them back there? If you do not know about the Bible app, we're going to put this up there. If you don't have that Bible app, I would encourage you to get it. It is such a great app. You can do, you can do devotionals on there. You can do devotionals with people on there. The thing I love about it is, you know, Bibles are not cheap. So if you go get a Bible, and it's good to have an actual Bible, but if you get one translation, or you go on the Bible app, you can get, you can switch between translations, which is awesome. And they're free, which is even better. That app is free. There's such a cool story with that app. I don't have time, other than one guy thought this would be, maybe we could do this. Apps were coming out and it has exploded. Like, I don't, so many people use this. It's incredible. Turn to Proverbs. We're going to start with the scripture that we've been in. We are talking about the heart and why we need to get our heart right. The more I talk about my heart, the more I realize how I need healing in my heart. Has anybody taken some time and you did a wow moment, an awe moment where you just sat before the Lord and had some awe? Anybody else? That's awesome. I encourage you to do that. I do find the more you look at your heart, the more you begin to identify things that, the more you say, search my heart, O Lord, you'll be like, okay, thank you. Let's do this because we want our hearts to be pure. So Proverbs 4. Let's start at verse 20. This is what we've read. This is kind of the key scripture. My son, give attention to my words and incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. One of the translations, we talked about this last week, talks about the fact that your heart and the spring, it's like a fountain, right? The wellness, the fountain of wellness, the fountain of wholeness. And it says, keep that with all diligence. Another way to describe it would be like a well back in the days, right? The well would be the center of the town where they would go, because without water, how long do you live? 3 days. Without food, you can live, I think it's what, 21 plus days, probably more. But without water, you're 3 days. Without breath, you're 3 minutes. Without a heart, you're not. And so water would be the key of a town. And so they would build these wells if they can find the water. And in stories in Genesis, you'll find that one of the things the enemy would do in order to take out a people group is what? Stop up the water. They would either poison the well, they would block the well, or they would find the source of the water that the well is filled from, and they would cut it off. See, they knew if you could get to the well, you get to the source, you could damage the person. And what Proverbs we talked about last week is saying that if you can get to the source of your life and you can taint it, the whole life will be tainted. That's pretty crazy. You get to your heart, you can change your whole life. I want to dive a little bit into words today. You know I like words, but I found some incredible things and to try to help us understand how important this is. You know, in our English language, we use the word love a lot, right? So I can, in 1 minute, say, Chris, I love you. And it's so meaningful. And then I can turn around and go, oh my gosh, I love this ice cream. And it's like, but I thought you loved me. Is this the same love? And we know what we mean. Of course, when I'm saying I love my wife, it's a deeper meaning. I was curious today. I looked up because I knew there were languages. I thought it was going to be Italian that had the most words for love. It's not. It's actually ancient Greece has the most words for love. I'm going to share some with you, and I'm going to give you some examples. There is a reason for my doing this. You know what? The one that we're most familiar with, anybody know the love, the word that we're most familiar with in the New Testament? Agape love. Agape love. So when we say, God, I love you, and God says, I love you back, that agape love from God is a love that really only he can give and only he can fill us with. It's agape. It's a God love. How many know that you need some agape love? How many know that I need some agape love? Let's point the finger here. I do. I'm like, man, 2025, I want to get filled with his love because it's the solution to everything around us. agape love. So when we say, I love you, God, that's agape love. Now we have this thing, I'll give you a few. If I say to my wife, baby, I love you. That's actually a completely different word than when I say, God, I love you. It's different when I say, Chris, buddy, I love you, man. Rose, it's totally different love. When I say, Mom and Dad, I love you guys. How many know that's not the same love? And it's not the same love. But in our language, we use the same word for love. So just to have fun here, there's eros, philia, storge. That sounds more Russian, storge. I don't know how to say these, so. Mania, you don't want somebody to have mania love for you. That's obsessive love. They make movies from that kind of, anyway. I did a little bit of ludus, which is playful, flirtatious love. Pragma, we have a mature relationship, Claude. Pragma love, very pragmatic, yes. Anyway, it goes on. So my point is this, what I want to make before I go into what we read, is that in languages, especially in Greek, they were trying to describe something that when the scribes actually wrote things out, they're like, how do we say this? How do we translate? So when you read a version in YouVersion, you're like, why are they using different words? It's writers trying to go, how do I describe what they're saying when they have words that we don't have? Okay, so with that in mind, let's look at, again, Proverbs. We're gonna start at 21. Because as I was studying, I thought, why are we using these words? So it says, do not let them depart from your eyes. This is talking about his words. This is Solomon writing to his son. It says, keep them in the midst of your heart. Now I wanna stop right there. Two words I wanna look at. First of all, before we look at a word, isn't it interesting when you say, look at my words, and then you say, keep them in your heart? Have you ever thought about that? We read with our minds. When you're reading, your brain, the part of your body, it's your mind that understands things, is reading words. But he doesn't say, keep them in your mind. He says, keep them in your heart. And we have to understand that's a huge difference, because in your mind, you know something. In your heart, you walk in it. You live it. Have you ever had something? I know there's ministries that like 6-inch ministries where they're like, that's the difference between your head and your heart sometimes, or 12, I don't know what it is. But it's that understanding that you know that you know that you know. And then one day, oh, now I know, right? Going back to love, it's like if we're playful and we're flirting, and then one day you go, oh, she really likes me. Oh, that all of a sudden it hit your heart, and then you fall in love. So Solomon is writing this, and he's saying, hey, listen, keep my words in your heart. One of the things that we often don't understand about the culture, and this is actually Hebrew we're looking at, is that they would use a word like inner man. We don't use that, inner man. We have come to understand that you have will, emotions, right? Your mind, will, and emotions. We try to separate it. But back in the day, they're like, no, your heart is your inner man. You following me? Ephesians 1 says, Paul actually, this is Greek now, he says, I bow my knee and I pray that the eyes of your heart would understand, or your eyes of your heart would be enlightened. Well, think about that for a minute. The eyes of your heart. Doesn't that seem a little odd? Does your heart, look at your heart. Tell me if it has eyes. Last time I checked, my head has eyes, not my heart. So these writers are trying to go, listen, your inner man is, you have to come and understand your inner man. And I would say so often that we don't realize that, like my analogy, our engine light is on and we're like, I need a new paint job. I need a new car. I'm just gonna switch this situation up and get a new car. And all the while, your inner man or your light is going off and it's like, check engine, check engine, check engine. And this month, I'm trying to get us to go, we need to check our hearts. We don't need another pair of shoes. You don't need another set of clothes. You don't need another movie on Netflix. You don't need another drink. You don't need another drug. You need to check your heart and go, Lord, what is wrong? If anything, what's wrong with my heart? And what I want to get into here, and this is where I want to look at the words. So we have these two words that come up. And you'll see in the New King James, again, if you're looking at a different version, I'm trying to find my page. There we go. Nope. There we go. He's going to use these words twice. Keep your heart, keep your heart, keep your heart, keep your heart. It's very interesting. The two words are actually different words. I'm thinking keep is going to be keep. And he's like, nope, keep's not going to be keep in both these situations. So I want to look at that for a second. It says, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. That word keep, you may recognize it is shamar. How many recognize the word shamar if you've been with us for a while? Tell me where the word shamar comes from that we talk about all the time. The garden. It is so interesting that you can parallel what is happening in the garden, what is being written. Because in the garden, it says that God put man and put him into the garden. And he said, I want you to tend and to keep it. That word keep is, I want you to shamar it. I want you to protect it. And what I want you to know about that word, and we've talked about this before, but if you're like me, it's easy to forget. That word shamar is an outside focused looking. Who's coming at me from the outside? And I gotta protect. So if my wife is behind me, I am looking here. I'm not looking inside right now, I'm looking outside. I am looking to shamar my family, my wife, all that. It's an outside focus. So we read the word and we say keep. God's like, no, it is a much bigger word. And in this instance, they're trying to say, listen, you focus outside. What's really interesting about the words that he's using, when you look at it, I don't even know how to describe it. The author is trying to use next level words to get us to understand what he's really trying to say. I have no words for it in English to describe, but all I know is that he's like, okay, if you understand here, and I'm saying like, try to keep your heart, the next passage he's gonna go, you really gotta understand. And even though he's using and we use the same words, he's upping the intensity of how important this is. Even to the point he's going to use the same word, it looks like it's keep, but it's shamar and nasar. Two very similar but different words. Because when you look and he says, for they are life to those who find him and health to all your flesh, keep, which is nasar, the word, your heart. Nasar, interesting enough, it looks so similar, but when you research it out, and they even say this is a more poetic word with great intensity, but it actually means internally. Keep internally your heart. So follow me along. Shamar's like, hey, watch out from all those things. How many fathers in here would jump in front of a moving bus to save a child? I'm sure mothers would too. That's shamaring. I will protect my kids from that bear. How many, you see these things where the bear comes out and they realize, Kristen and I, not with a bear, we had this happen with an elk. We went to Alberta and there are elk everywhere. Anybody ever been to Alberta and you see elk everywhere? We had a moment, okay, real quick. We had a moment. We're in our tent early in the morning. Anybody ever see the movie Aliens? Okay, we're in our tent and we hear this chomping. And we're like, oh, that's so cool. Like, there's something outside. And we weren't bothered by it. And then it got a little closer. And you could see, this is something really big. Now, I quickly realized it was probably an elk. Not a problem. Until that part where the elk's head began to go into the tent vinyl or whatever it is. And you could see his whole head appear. And we just sat there. We went from laughing and Chris is like, ah! And that began our whole trip. It was like terrifying. So I got a baseball bat after that. I'm not sure what I would have done with it. But there was a moment, speaking of which, there's elk everywhere. And then we see this elk and it's making this horrific noise. we're like, why is it making this noise? And then we turn around and we are in between the elk and probably its child. And we're like, what is with this trip? It's a nightmare. We thankfully got away. One of our children didn't. No, I'm joking. But this is that shamar, right? I will protect. And of course, if it came down to it, honey, run, I'm taking this thing on. See you on the other side. That's shamar. The problem is that we don't nasar. Because nasar is an internal thing where we're supposed to keep check internally of what's going on. Let me give you an example of this. You know, I did not live through the Cold War, but I watched movies about the Cold War. The Cold War, when you watch any type of American movie, it often has to do with spies, right? If you go back to the, help me out here, 50s, you know, like, wasn't it Lucille Ball must have been a communist at one point? Like, there was all these witch hunts to find out. But the reality is there were a ton of people living in America that were Russian that were actually trained to be on the inside, right? They were on the inside to do damage to America. Well, this is what Nassar is. How do you guard against inside threats? I'm not going to have time today. We're going to go into it next week. What I want to talk about at some point, Pastor Rod's going to preach next week and we'll tie into this. The reality is one of the greatest threats that we have inside of us. So we're shamaring, we're keeping our heart, we're looking outwards. All the while, we have an inside threat called unforgiveness and bitterness wrecking havoc on our life. Doing way more damage than that elk could have done, because I would have probably ended up in a hospital and I would have recovered. All the while, that unforgiveness could be carrying on with us for years. Like I said, the more I talk about this, the more I realize I am absolutely 100% sure I'm carrying unforgiveness right now. 100%. I could tell you, oh, I've gotten rid of all of it until this week I start having conversations and I feel my blood pressure going up, right? I feel myself getting agitated. I'm talking about it and things that I haven't talked about in a while are coming up and I'm frustrated. So if I have completely forgiven, that should not be happening. So when I did that, my check engine light went on. And what it would be so easy to do, you know, I don't know for you what it would look like. For me, because some of the things I'm talking about are ministry and years ago, and it would be easy for me to go, maybe I need a new position. But I, wherever I go, this is another thing Gary Osborne used to say, wherever I go, there you are, right? You hear that a lot. People have said that. Wherever you go, there you are. Wherever you go, there goes your heart. And so if your heart is the issue, you will go somewhere else and find out your heart still carries that issue. The other word that I don't have time to fully look at, but that word heart, it's interesting when you look it up. One, it says guard your heart or keep your heart. So it's shamar lava. Lava is actually a really intense version of it, but it's another poetic phrase. And then the next thing he says, guard your, I want to get it right, lavav. It's interesting. It's just a different tense. Like we would say, man, guard your heart. No, really guard your heart. But they had more beautiful words that would signify the intensity of it. So what the author is really trying to say, this is Solomon. Like I can see him pleading. I'm going to show you in a second, Paul pleading for this very same thing. Like, guard, protect, nasar, shamar your heart, because out of it, everything flows. You think that life will get better if you switch jobs, but you're gonna have heart issues because your heart is angry. Your heart is bitter. All these things, you gotta get your heart healed. So here's one thing I can promise. Actually, there's two things we can promise in life, right? You're gonna die, and I can guarantee, I can promise you this. If you carry around unforgiveness, wherever you go, it'll affect your life. I promise you that. I promise you, you will think out of it. You will act out of it. You will do friendships out of it. And God wants us to forgive and be forgiven. But I'm also aware, maybe this is the third thing I can promise you. I can promise you it's not easy. So turn to your Bibles. We're gonna close with this scripture and then we're gonna take communion with this in mind. Turn to Ephesians. Turn to Ephesians 3. I really love, this is just amazing wording and ties it all together. Ephesians 3, verse 13. We're going to go 13 to 19. Look at all the words that he uses here. Starting at 13, Ephesians 3. It says, therefore, I ask you, do not lose heart. Again, it's phraseology, right? We're like, well, how do you lose your heart? It doesn't fall out. It's not like false teeth, right? You're just talking and it falls out. Don't lose your teeth. Don't lose your heart. What does that tell you? It can be lost. Did you get that? If he's telling you don't lose your heart, that is telling us your heart can get lost. So he's, again, do not lose heart. That my tribulations, he's saying specifically, which is your glory. Church, I would say that God would be saying the same thing. So this is Paul writing from prison, and he's like, church, don't lose heart. It's okay. This is for your glory. Don't lose heart. Why? Because like us, they were probably like, why is this happening? God, where are you? Like, why are you not? This is Paul. Why are you not intervening? Like, get him out of there. And he's like, listen, don't lose heart on my behalf. This is for you. This is for your glory. What? Like, we've gone through things, and I realize there's so often I preach and I'm like, God, that is so good. Because I'm getting this as I'm saying it, because I believe God, in our moments last year, he was saying, church, I know it was painful. Don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. Don't let this sidetrack you. You don't understand on earth, one day you will in heaven, but that's such a cop-out, Lord. I know it seems like a cop-out, but it will be for my glory and for your glory. Why do I say it's cop-out? Because it seems like an easy answer, right? One day you'll understand. I want to understand now. Why so-and-so left? Why so-and-so died? Why so-and-so got sick? Don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. And he says, for this reason, now get it, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Like he's saying this is so important. I'm in prison. I get on my knees to pray for you for this. I bow my knee. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory. That's pretty good. He's pretty rich. He's got a lot of glory, right? That's like a king saying, I got on my knee to decide how much I wanted to give you out of my treasure chest. Thank you, Lord. So that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be, look it, strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. Like, you could digest that for a while. So how are we strengthened? By going out and buying shoes. Like, let's get back to the story. Some of you I lost you at shoes. Because we often go, this is the point. How do we get strengthened? And you're saying, like, how do I do this? Right here is the answer. This is the answer. Strengthened with might. How? Through his spirit, where does it go? Your inner man. So what does he want to do in 2025, specifically January? He wants to strengthen you through his Holy Spirit in your inner man. He wants to heal you through the Holy Spirit in your inner man. Let me ask you a couple questions here. And then I'll finish reading. Would you like to be, in 2025, would you like to be right in relationships or reconciled? Did I say 2029? It's funny what you hear in your brain. 2025, do you want to be right or reconciled? Do you want to be hurt or healed? Healed. Do you want to keep playing the victim or do you want to become whole? You say, I never play the victim. Ask your friends. We all play the victim. We all do, some way, shape, or form. But if I had my choice, I want to be reconciled, healed, and whole in 2025. How do we do it? Well, I need the Holy Spirit to strengthen me with his might in my inner man. So the reality is shoes, clothes, it's going back to my washer fluid didn't fix the problem. A full tank of gas didn't fix the problem. I could check the airs in my tire that wouldn't fix the problem. It's getting my heart right that fixes the problem. And I realize in the last few years, from all that has happened, not just the last few years, certainly they have been tough, but my lifetime and your lifetime, and there are things and stories in here that would make my things small. And you read stories of people of rape and murder and all these things, and you go, you want me to forgive? And then you end up on a story like Jesus on a cross. And I don't know about you if this blows you away, but it blows me away every time. There are certain scriptures I'm like, Lord, I do not get how you did that. Because he's hanging on a cross with the children that he came. Yes, it was the Romans that crucified him, but you have to understand it was the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the people that were there that were yelling, crucify him. You got to realize these were the people that were like, heal me, heal me. Many days later, crucify him. Can you imagine the agony? Can you imagine? I can't even imagine. I've been through betrayal on such a minor scale compared to this. But these are the people that he chose to come. These were his people. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, these were his people, the Jewish people. And they're yelling, crucify him. It goes even further because they were letting a murderer go free. Who do you want? Who do you want? Barnabas or Barabbas or Jesus? And they picked Barabbas. They picked a murderer over Jesus. God's people, the one he came for. And then he's on the cross and he says these words. And that's why I know that there's only one way we can be, our heart can be healed in these moments. It has to be the Holy Spirit. Because in the moment when he looks down, what does he say? Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. So I stand with you in places in my life right now where I am taking stock going, Lord, like I talked with my mom yesterday, I think it was yesterday. It was so fitting because I was digging out a septic tank. That's fitting, right? Just follow that anyway. It was Friday. And it was full. She had to get it pumped. I'm like, this is so fitting. And as we're talking, this is when my blood pressure was going up and I was getting agitated and I was talking about things and I thought, oh, I had been asking all of us that we could take stock of our heart. Here we go. Amongst the sewer, because that's what it is inside of me. When I carry that around, I'm not trying to just be graphic for graphic's sake. When I pulled off that thing, it was to the top, full of you know what. Well, the reality is our hearts can be like that too if we don't guard and keep our heart. If we don't shamar and nasar our heart, if we don't guard it, it's easy from the outside. I see so many people are good at boundaries. I'm setting a boundary. What about our hearts? Are you setting a boundary because you don't want to deal with your heart? It's easier to walk away than to deal with it. I'm convinced to deal with the situation. So I'm convinced that the answer to this is strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. I love this. You know, we talk about this as Christians, that Christ may dwell in your, where? Not your minds, in your heart. Why we need him in our inner man does nothing for our brains if he's up there. Although when we ask him into our life, he begins to navigate every aspect of us. Meaning that we want to listen to what he's saying and go there. We don't become robots. It says, dwell in our hearts through faith. I just want to share this. This is the other key. So if you want to know if you have a check engine light on in your heart, you need to judge it with this one. Being rooted and grounded in love. And I'm determined in this year to get more rooted and grounded in love. And that moment when I looked and I saw those people prophesying the destruction of LA, I thought, you have studied law and you've never moved into the new covenant of love. Because the new covenant of love, although you're in pain, cries out for the people that have hurt you. And I will be honest, there are times I'm not there. There are times I'm not there. Why don't you grab your communion? And I want to get there, don't you? So easy to sometimes think we've hit the pinnacle and then the Lord will go, yeah, not yet. If there's a tinge of told you so when somebody that betrayed you or hurt you gets something bad in their life, like there's that moment where you almost celebrate internally, but externally you're like, oh, that's terrible. Inside you're like, he had it coming. Come on, I'm just talking real, right? Then I go to myself and I say, I'm not rooted in love right now, and I still have some work to do in my heart. As you're opening this, I heard a story of a woman that was raped very seriously. And in between when she was raped and when she had to do the court case because they caught him, she actually became a Christian. And she got to the point, because this gentleman was from a Middle East nation, and if he was found guilty, he would be deported. And in their country, if you were caught, you'd be murdered. You'd be killed, sentenced to death. See, she had such a dilemma. They don't give the answer of what happened, but she got to the point where she was more grieved about what would happen to this man than she was about what happened to her. That's an amazing transformation. Because before she came a Christian, she would have been so grateful for him to go. And then she thought, how do I do this? Because if I share my testimony, he may die. That's rooted and grounded in love. Now, in the end, her counsel was, you still got to say the truth. And she spoke it out. She didn't speak it out with anger or rage or malice. She just said the facts. She left it up to the judge. I'm like, Lord, that's an amazing place to get to. So ultimately, God is the judge, right? Not us. So Lord, I don't know where every person stands today, but if anybody's like me, I know I got work to do in my heart. Lord, I know where I am and I know where I want to be and I know where I'm not. But Father God, I thank you. The scripture was clear today. It is your Holy Spirit that strengthens our inner man. So I go back to what we started with today. Holy Spirit, we need more of you. Holy Spirit, we need more of you. And Lord, I thank you that what we hold in our hands, although it's not your body, it symbolizes that, but it's more than that. When we partake of it in faith, we are partaking of the very thing that makes us righteous and allows the Holy Spirit to dwell within us. So Lord, as we partake of it, Lord, I thank you that it's your righteousness that makes us right with you. So Lord, would you continually cleanse our hearts in Jesus' name. Let's all partake. Lord, again, I thank you for the blood that you shed on the cross so we could be forgiven, healed, set free, that our eyes could be opened, that our hearts could be opened. Lord, we ask as we partake today that you would open the eyes of our hearts. Lord, for anyone here, because Lord, it is a personal decision, but for anyone here, that knows they need to have the eyes of their heart open to see what the condition of their heart is. Lord, I pray that you would hear their prayer. Lord, that you would search our hearts in this season. Would you search our hearts? And you are a loving, merciful, gracious God. But we thank you for the blood that gives us a place to be in where we don't have to fear you. We can open ourselves up to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. So as we close, I know even sometimes terms can trigger. If you're here and you need prayer, Don't leave. I know we already had prayer, but it's like, you know, can sometimes be like, oh, I got triggered. I need to have prayer, because we can all have had things that happen in our life that we know we are struggling to forgive. So I encourage you, if that's you, you know, don't leave without getting prayer. If that's not you, I encourage you, go ahead and fellowship outside, or not outside, in the foyer. We'll put some music on and hear James if we could. So Lord, we bless, I bless everyone in here. I thank you, Lord, as a father, as a pastor, I bless everyone here as a father, a father's blessing. Would you keep them, protect them, walk with them this week? And I pray, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would designate times where they would feel your presence and be filled up. Would we be strengthened? Would you strengthen each of us in our innermost man? In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.